Molly have been coaching my wife Bonnie and I in this troop plan process, so it's good to be here. Redeemer, we were at Cross this morning, and just to be visiting. It's been a great weekend for my family. A couple years ago at Thanksgiving, my family, my wife Bonnie and I, were getting ready to host some people for Thanksgiving dinner. And so we were getting ready, we're cleaning up. My wife loves to cook, she was in the kitchen cooking. And our kids, they're 6 and 4 now, a couple years younger then, were just in an energetic mood. And so it was making it hard to get things done. So at one point, Bonnie just said to me, "Can you take them somewhere? Can you do something with them?" So we got in the car and we pulled out of the driveway, and I thought, where am I going to take them? It's Thanksgiving, it's cold, what's going to be open? So we ended up at McDonald's. At a play place, and I walk in and I look, and there in the corner is a dad with some kids. And there on the other side of the room is another dad with some kids. And another one, we all kind of looked at each other and just gave like a little nod, yeah, because we had this immediate bond because we had all been sent there. And we're going to be looking at Acts 13 that was just read, and it is a passage about being sent. A much more important kind of sending. And if you are a follower of Jesus, then you are sent. This passage tells about Paul and Barnabas being sent, but the reality is everyone who wants to follow Jesus is sent. And maybe you're here and you're just exploring what it means to follow Jesus. You want to call yourself a Christian, but you're curious. And I'm so glad you're here. I hope this church is a safe place for you to explore that. But you should know right now, to follow Jesus means that you will be sent. And so as we look at this passage, I just want to look at two truths that it has in it. That when we are sent, we're sent as a people. And that when we're sent with the power of the Spirit. So people and power. So would you turn in your Bibles with me to Acts 13? It's also there in your order of service. You know, Acts as a book is a book about sending. And Jesus kind of tipped us off to this even in the Gospels. And in John 10:21, he says, "Hey, just as the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you." And then he does. He sends his disciples out. And in what is kind of a thesis statement of the book of Acts, in Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "You're going to witness to me. You're going to be my witnesses here in the city of Jerusalem where we are, and then in Judea and Samaria, the area around it, and then even to the ends of the earth. I'm going to send you out." And then throughout Acts, we see that happening. In Pentecost, the Spirit is given to the disciples, and the Spirit is sent to them, and the Spirit sends them out. The Spirit is a spirit of sending. And so the church is a sent people. And then you get Philip, who is sent out of Jerusalem after they've started the church there, and he's sent to Samaria, and he starts a church there. And then he meets an Ethiopian man from Africa, and that man is sent back to his country to start a church. And now here in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are sent. Sending is part of the normal life of the church. Sometimes we read the book of Acts, we're like, wow, these are extraordinary things happening. But they are the pattern for the regular life of what it means to follow Jesus. And so we can see in this passage just a few ways that we can practice being a sent people. And that's why, as part of our liturgy, Sunday after Sunday, week after week, we end our service with what? A dismissal, a sending. Go forth into the world in peace, in the power of the Spirit. We're sent out as a people. Some of us are sent to our families, sent across the hall to our children, sent across the street to our neighbors, sent across the cubicle to a coworker, across town, across the country, across the world to the ends of the earth. We're all sent in different ways. Paul and Barnabas had a missionary sending, but they would be sent time and time again throughout their lives. Philip, who I just mentioned, he was sent to start all these churches, and then he was sent to settle down, have a family, and raise 4 daughters who turned out to be prophets. We all have different sendings, but we are all sent. So let's look at what it looked like for Paul and Barnabas to be sent. Starting with the beginning of chapter 13 here, we see that the church is worshiping together in Antioch. And we get a list of a very diverse group of leaders there. And what are they doing? It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. That's how it works. We want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. If we want to discern where the Holy Spirit is leading, it happens when we are in prayer and fasting, and when we're worshiping as a church, as a people. Yes, God speaks to each of us, but he speaks to us all together. And so when does the Holy Spirit speak to them? When they're worshiping as a people. Why is that? Well, worship, I think, worship is when we offer ourselves to a God who's offered himself to us. And in worship, there is a surrender that happens. There's an offering that happens. And so in worship, we are made willing. When we are willing, then we can be sent. So while they're in prayer, the Holy Spirit says, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called him. And then notice that they don't just send him out right away. They actually start a process. What does the next verse say? It says, and then they were in prayer and fasting. Now, sometimes when I fast, it doesn't last very long. Maybe you've had that experience. But you can't fast right away. Fasting takes time. And so they enter into a process of prayer and fasting, whereby at the end of it, they actually confirm that, yes, they heard the Lord correctly together. And then they lay hands on them and anoint them for ministry and send them out. So it happens in prayer. It happens with a process. It also happens as partners. They don't send just Paul. They don't send just Barnabas. Later on, we learn that John was with them for a while. They probably had a whole team. We're sent out together as a people. We're sent out with partners. And I love this story of Paul and Barnabas' partnership leading up to this point. Because if you remember the story of Paul, if you've heard this story before, he was actually attacking the church and killing Christians. And when he had a dramatic encounter with Jesus that changed his life, he went to the church in Jerusalem and said, hey, I feel compelled to preach the gospel. And they wouldn't meet with him. They were afraid. Who went out and met with Paul? It was Barnabas. And Barnabas brought him back to the church of Jerusalem and said, hey, you guys trust me, you can trust him too. And then what happened? Revival breaks out in Antioch. The Holy Spirit comes. People are following Jesus, getting saved, and meeting together. And the Jerusalem church hears about it, and they're like, well, we got to send someone to go see what's happening. And they sent Barnabas. So Barnabas starts to preach, and more people start to get saved. And he goes, I need some help. And who does he go get? He goes and gets Paul. They have this partnership together in the gospel. And they're sent out together. When God sends us out as a people, it happens in prayer, it happens as part of a process, and it happens with partners. And when God sends us out, he sends us out with power. Notice what happens on their trip. This section starts at verse 4, it's the second part of this narrative. When the Spirit sends us out, he empowers us. The same Spirit that sends is the Spirit that empowers. They're going throughout the island of Cyprus. They get as far as Paphos, verse 6, and they come upon a certain magician. Now, this isn't a David Blaine sort of fellow. He's not doing illusions. He's not an illusionist. He's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. And they get a meeting with one of the civic leaders in the town who wants to know about the gospel. He wants to know who Jesus is. And they walk into the room, and who is there? The false prophet. And he has this place of power in this room and in this community. See, all of a sudden, they come up against opposition. They've been sent out by the Spirit. The church laid hands on them and prayed for them to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And now they're facing opposition. This, too, is how it works. When you've been sent out in the Spirit, you will face opposition. Their opposition was a false prophet who was speaking against them. It says that he was trying to turn them away from the faith, verse 8. He opposed them. We all have these false prophets that speak against the sending of the Spirit in our lives. We all have false prophets that try to turn us away from the faith, away from what the Lord has called us to. What is the false prophet that speaks against your sending? I don't have that sort of personality. I don't have those sort of gifts. I can't be sent by God. Oh, you don't know what I did. Maybe God could forgive me, but he could never use me. You don't know what I did. You don't know what was done against me. You don't know the shame that I carry. I couldn't be sent by God. What are the false prophets that speak against the way the Holy Spirit wants to send you? I know for my wife and I, we've come up against a number of different points of opposition, and as we've followed Jesus' call to this new community and a new church. The first one that happened, it was a summer of 2013, and we had just closed on a house. We just bought our first house. And literally, the week later, we met, and we had a similar experience of a time of prayer and fasting where we felt the Lord saying, I'm calling you to plant a church. How's that going to work? We just bought a house. There's no way. How are we going to move our family? Well, we started praying about it, and earlier this year, a friend said, hey, I know this person in the city of Aurora where you're moving. Let me introduce you. So I had an hour-long phone conversation with this stranger. And the next day he calls me back and he says, hey, we might be living in Aurora. We might be moving. If we're living there, we'll be on your team. If we're not living there, you can have our house. There it is. False prophet gone. And so in 2 weeks, we'll move into that house. What happens for Paul and Barnabas here? The false prophet speaks against them, but it says, Paul, verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who sends is the Holy Spirit who fills. And he speaks, he names the false prophet. He says, you son of the devil, which is the enemy of the Son of God, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? He names the false prophet that's standing before him. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit falls and does a miracle. And the man who a minute before seemed like the most powerful person in the room, keeping Paul and Barnabas from speaking God's word to this proconsul, all of a sudden he's blind. He can't see. He's on his hands and knees asking for someone, please leave me in the dark, because he's powerless. So the power of the Holy Spirit renders the false prophet impotent, powerless. The power of the Holy Spirit goes before. I grew up in a little town in Michigan called China. So not China, Michigan. And it was right next to Canada. So like literally some Friday nights we'd go to Canada for pizza. Why not? You didn't even have to show an ID most of the time. So we'd drive over, had pizza, come back. So sometimes we'd get mail from different things we did in Canada, and we'd get it, and it had literally gone to China, and then come back. So I remember one summer we got this magazine from a music festival we'd go to in Canada, and it had all these stamps over it, and it went to China. And I'm just trying to imagine, like, what does that look like? Like, the Canadian postal worker is like, oh, this doesn't have enough postage to get to China, but I don't know, we'll make sure it gets there, you know? And it gets it on a plane, it goes to China, they get to China, they're like, well, this isn't supposed to go, I'm not going to try Chinese accent. They're like, this isn't supposed to go to here, like, we got to send it back. There's not a postage to send it back. No, we'll make sure it gets back. They get it in Canada. Oh, no, we sent it to the wrong place. We're so sorry. Canadians are very apologetic. So they're like, it's way out of postage. Now it's been around the world, but I see it's supposed to go to Michigan. We'll make sure it gets to Michigan. And lo and behold, it shows up. I mean, that is the power of the postal service, right? And when Jesus sends us by the Holy Spirit, he sends us with enough postage power to do what he sent us to do. Isaiah says the word of God is not returned to sender void, right? That's a little elaboration on that. But when he sends us out in the Spirit, he sends us out with the power to accomplish what he sent us to do. And when Jesus was sent by the Father, he was sent with the power to do what he was sent to do, to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we should have died, to redeem us out of our sins, to raise to new life, defeat the grave and defeat our sins so that he could invite us back into relationship with him. That is what he set out to do, and that is what he did. Because he had the power of God in him, the Holy Spirit. And now he sends the Holy Spirit to us. He sends the Holy Spirit to his church. And when the Holy Spirit sends out his church, he sends out the church with the power to do what he sent us to do. Because there are people in this world who have never met the Lord. And there are people who have never felt the adoption, the redemption of God the Father, who've never known the love and the friendship of the Son, who've never felt the healing of the Holy Spirit. And he sends the church, the people, with the power of God, he sends us to proclaim that good news. And he who sent us will accomplish what he sent us to do through us. To believe in the power of the church, to heal the human heart, to put together what has been broken, to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in us. As long as there are people who are hurting and who are far from God, he will keep sending his church to them. And he will keep sending us with power to preach the gospel. I'll give you just a few examples of being sent as a people and being sent in power. I've been at Church of the Resurrection meeting for the past 10 years, and now we're moving out to Aurora, so a couple of these examples are from there. At Resurrection, we were having a service. We expected a lot of people there, and we needed to do seat reservations for it. So we knew with our computer database we could issue tickets with barcodes on them, but we had no way to get them back. We had no way to, like, scan them in. So we were trying to figure out, what do we do with this problem? And as we were trying to figure out, four or five folks came to me and said, hey, listen, we are all computer programmers, and we get together once a week, and we hack things and create things, and whatever computer programmers do. And I'm sure it's all legal. And they said, hey, how can we help the church? We feel like the Lord wants us to use this thing that we love to do and are good at for the church. I said, well, let me tell you. And I told them the issue, and they said, we can make an app for that. And every single person who came to this service scanned their seat reservations and were welcomed in seamlessly because they wrote a software program that would do that. And there were a number of people at that service who gave their life to the Lord for the first time to follow Jesus. And it's in part because they felt sent to code for the Lord. Another example, there's a young woman at our church from Canada, and she has a heart for the orphan and for kids in foster care. Her visa was up in America, and she was like, Lord, how am I feel like you're calling me to do this ministry here, but I've got to go. I've got to go back to Canada. How are you going to work this out? And she was praying and worshiping in service, just like Acts 13. And someone who did not know her from a different church came over to her and said, I feel like the Lord wants me to pray for you. So they prayed for her. And the person just said, I feel like, just got this picture in my head, and your feet are like, they're in like cinder blocks, or like in cement. Like you can't go anywhere. And she just started laughing and crying because that was the Lord telling her, like, I'm not going to send you back to Canada. You're here. About 9 months later, through what the immigration office called a miracle, she got a visa, and she's still here. And that ministry serves about 40 families that represent 75 kids that didn't have a home. And now have a home in families and a home in the church. You see, Jesus fills the church with his Holy Spirit so that lives can be changed. And you and your family and your friends and your church, you can change people's worlds. One last story. This is the simplest one. This happened with our team, our new church, starting in Aurora. We've been praying that God would help us show God's love to people in our lives who don't know him. And one young lady on our team said, no, I went to a Christian college. I work at a Christian organization. All my friends are at church. I literally don't know anyone far from God. I don't have a relationship. So we started to pray for her. I'm convinced that that is Jesus' favorite prayer to answer. And over the course of prayer, a sermon, a very specific prayer and fasting process she went through, she felt the Lord leading her out of the job she was in. She's going to go back to school in the fall. For now, she's nannying for family. And that family is not church. And she came back after that change the next week and she said, the Holy Spirit answered that prayer. And he sent me to this family. So how has the Lord sent you? When he sends you, he'll send you with power. So how has he sent you? You need to enter into a season of prayer and listening for that. You need to, in worship, submit yourself to the Lord to be willing to go where he might send you, wherever that might be. How is he sending you? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are part of a sent people. As a church, how is he sending you as a church? Who does he want you to love with the love of Jesus? What false prophets stand in the way of that? What would oppose the way that Jesus wants to send you to the people who don't know him yet? You can name them. You can ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. He will. We are a sent people. And when we are sent by the Spirit, we are sent with the power of the Spirit to do what he has sent us to do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Would you stand with me as we say the words of the Nicene Creed?